Welcome to the Steelers Realm Podcast. Here are the boys of Steelers Realm, New Jersey Dev, JT, and the famous TA.
Hey, Steeler Nation, welcome back to another episode of Steelers Realm Podcast, powered by Riverside FM, the official remote high-definition video and audio conferencing tool of the Steelers Realm. I'm one of your hosts, JT, along with the gang all here in the heart of Browns country. It's famous TA. Hey, Merry Christmas Eve, buddy.
Hey, Merry Christmas Eve to you and Steelers Nation. Ho, ho, ho.
Nice. Nice. It is that. You all ready for Christmas?
Man, I'm always ready for Christmas, man. Christmas needs to be like 365 days out of the year. No work, presents all the time, Steelers victory, Super Bowls. I mean, all that good stuff, man. I mean, why can't we have Christmas 365 days out of the year?
That's right. My Christmas wish. We'll get into that in a second. Over on the other side of the state, New Jersey Dev, how's your Christmas planning going? Did you start the celebration yet, Ken?
Nah, man, there's not much to celebrate. I'm stuck out here in the armpit of America, New Jersey. First Christmas I haven't spent in La Trobe, so.
No, that's kind of a drag. I don't know if you guys aren't too. We kind of canceled all the family plans. Normally today, a couple hours ago, would have been taking the family out to a Christmas Eve brunch, but you know, that got nixed. And so anyhow, let's hope for a Christmas present from the Steelers, and maybe they can turn things around and pull out a win out of this. Let's you know, we get with the Colts game coming up, coming here to Pittsburgh. Let's hope we can pull out a win and clinch the division with that. So I guess, you know, without any delay, let's get into the preview. Our 11-3 Steelers at home versus the Colts, who are 10-4. And that's a 1 o'clock game time. Looks like the weather's going to be, am I reading this right? 74 degrees at game time?
No.
With a chance of rain? Nah. Supposed to get cold. So, but anyhow, we got
it's gonna be 42 degrees.
Yeah, that seems better. More likely. Anyhow, the dream team, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo with Tracy Wolfson on the sideline, and of course on the Steelers Radio Network, on the Steelers app, WDVE, and the other Steelers Radio's affiliates, Bill Hillgrove, Tunch, Craig, and Missy Matthews. So going head to head against the Colts, Steelers lead the series all time 25-6 and won the last meeting on November 3rd of last year, 26-24 at home. With the Steelers coming off their three-game losing streak, hitting an all-time low, losing to the Bungles, and with a chance to clinch the division the last two games, it's still up in the air going into this game. And I guess if you were to tag a must-win, this is definitely one of them, unless we want to play for the division against Cleveland Browns next week, which I don't think the way they're playing anybody wants to. But anyhow, the Colts coming off a win to their division rivals, the Texans, 27-20 at home. They are three wins in a row and making a push for the division versus the Titans, which are tied at 10-4. But I believe Titans hold a tiebreaker with a better conference record or divisional record. I'm not sure, one of those two. But anyhow, that's a look at the preview going into this game. Let's TA, if you want to take us into the news, well, items that we want to touch off, Steelers in the news, if you want to take it away with that.
Hot off the presses, man. We have Pro Bowl selections, JT.
There you go.
And Dev, can you believe it? Pro Bowl is here, and of course this is a game that's not going to get to play, so this is only for the record books and record books only. And we've got Mr. Marquise Pouncey making it again. David DeCastro, a little bit of a surprise on that one there, but congratulations, David. Of course.
Take it, dude.
Hey, look, you know what?
It's got to only be my name.
It was the fan vote. You know, the fan vote got him. You know, TJ Watt, Mr. still in line there for NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Uh-huh.
Made it.
Yep.
Minka Fitzpatrick, with his great tackling ability, made it. Not quite sure about that one either. But, of course, the captain and the rock and the stone of this defense, Cam Hayward. But I only got a question to ask you guys. Do you think we got slighted a little bit here? I mean, let's face it. When all this voting was going into play, we were, you know, riding 11-0 high. Yes, I understand we went on a three-game skid. You can go ahead and beat all that up. Is there anybody off that list that shouldn't have made it, since we had other teams that went ahead and sent seven to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, anybody that should have made it, you mean?
Yeah, anybody that jumps out to you right now that just off the top of your list said had a Pro Bowl year should have been there.
Vince Williams or Stephon Tuitt.
Yeah.
Stephon, he's been getting slighted forever.
Yeah. Yeah, Vince Williams having the season of his career this year till we got on the list.
Missed yeah,
games there, but
I just still don't know how the Castro made it, but I mean, who else are you going to put there? And they're not even going to play the game this year, you know, with COVID, they're not even playing it. So
probably not.
It's basically the same guys as last year.
It basically is. So, I mean, my question is, did we have a receiver that deserved to go? Take away the drops. Do we have a receiver that deserved to be there?
Well, if you go by the numbers, probably not. I don't know. Early on, I guess if we're going to dig into this a little bit, early on, maybe Claypool, you know, as a rookie, was having a pretty sensational start of the year. But that all dropped off. Can't say, it, you know, or Deontay can't say that their numbers were actually warranted Pro Bowl selections.
Yeah, I think the only two rookies that made it was Justin Jefferson, the rookie wide receiver out of Minnesota, and Chase Young, obviously, with the
well-deserved team.
Hilton or, you know, Sutton even maybe had a case. I don't know. Jordan Poyer got snubbed from the Bills. So who knows what they did this year? I feel like they just said, screw it. Let's pick the same guy as last year. That's the Castro.
It was a copy and paste year. Is that what we're saying?
You'll copy and paste.
Copy and paste.
Copy and paste. All right. Well, then, since we're not going to play this game, let's not even dwell on this. Let's talk about a little bulletin board fodder. I want you all to know, for all of you out there that were just down on Juju, beating him up because you were tired of his TikTok dances, well, he has heard your cry. He is released to the media for the betterment of myself and my teammates. He is going to stop dancing on opposing teams' logos. What do we think about that?
Well, that'll make a lot of people happy, and there'll be one less thing to gripe about on the social media and everywhere else. So
I guess Mark Madden has to go back to talking about NXT wrestling now. So that's about the only thing he contributes to Steeler coverage.
Shame.
Clowning this guy.
Well, here's a guy who I clown about, and I'm glad to have him back. Will he be effective today? And that is a man who we talked about just a second ago, Vince Williams, fresh off of the COVID-19 protocol, boys. Is he impactful this weekend?
Well, let's hope he was one of the ones that had mild symptoms. Going through it personally, I know how major symptoms has affected the cardiovascular system and your lungs in general. So I think the Browns game, they kind of honed in on Myles Garrett, and they showed him towards the end of the game, and he was sucking wind pretty good, rightly so, with him coming off the COVID list as well, too, and having it. So, you know, let's hope he's effective and can help us stop the runs. That stuff up the middle, that just can't happen again.
Yeah. We get Spillane back, too. There isn't much news on him, but it sounds like he's getting back to full strength. We start piecing together some more of these pieces on defense. Might actually be able to make a run. Who knows? We're getting ahead of ourselves, yeah. I guess, there, though.
We're starting to get a little healthy this time of year, which is a good thing. Because one other thing, Steelers news, all of you who are listening, we debated whether or not last week if Ben needed a hug. Well, he went ahead and he called an offensive players meeting only to reconnect with the group, with the guys. Did Ben get his hug? Are we going to see it this weekend? Is his confidence back?
Let's hope so.
I feel like his buddy Fichtner was outside the meeting waiting for Ben to walk out and be like, hey, how'd it go in there, man? Like, how'd the meeting go? Is everything all right?
Paint a picture. I could, good? I could see him, like, you could, like, a picture of him with his ear up against, pressed up against the door, listening.
with the Dixie cup between the door and his ear?
Yes, exactly.
Does the defense still all want to beat my ass? Do they hate me because they're on the field constantly?
Did the offense want to, like, do they still like me? Am I still in? Am I going to be at a coach next year? I don't know. Good stuff.
So tune in next week, guys. We're going to go ahead and root for Randy to get his hug. Until then, Dev, take it away. By the numbers. Steelers.
Before we do that, Randy does need a hug, though. I feel bad for the guy. They asked him what he was doing for Christmas this year at the presser today, and he said his family's all stuck in Florida, so he's taking home whatever he can get from the team facility food-wise, going home and eating it by himself. Poor bastard.
No, it's not a poor bastard. Good. Hopefully he took home some videos and he's paying attention to a game plan and he starts breaking this shit down. Sounds to me like he needs a little extra time alone.
Wonder how many times he's going to call Ben tonight. Hey, bud, just checking in. How you doing?
Everything okay? I miss you.
We'll hop into buy the numbers, though. You know, somebody give Randy a hug if you see him out there. So he gets COVID and can't coach on Sunday. But
take my ham bone, too.
Yeah, take the ham bone. By the numbers here, first number here is 1025. That's consecutive pass protection snaps Big Al had without giving up a sack, a streak that dated back to week 5 of last year, and that streak was snapped Monday by Carl Lawson. Next number is 275 with 275 passing yards this week. Colts quarterback Philip Rivers will hit 4,000 passing yards for the 12th time in his career. And with two touchdown passes, Rivers can also surpass Dan Marino for the 5th most touchdown passes in NFL history. Danny Marino and Philip Rivers sure do have a lot in common. So that's Ben's draft mate there, along with Eli. Right. They got two Super Bowls apiece. And, here's a question real quick for you guys, and I'll move on here quickly. Who was there was 4 quarterbacks selected in the first round that year in the 2004 draft. Who was the 4th?
Do, 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 do,
you got Ben, you got Eli, you got old Philip.
Mm-hmm.
No guesses?
Wasn't Breeze, was it?
No. Nah. No, no.
Wasn't
no,
Craig
no.
Krenzel. Wasn't Jim Sorgi. Not Jeff Smoker or John DeVar. It was J.P. Lawson out of Tulane. Bills picked him up, I think, 22nd overall. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where's he crazy now?
He was the Todd Manerovich of that year?
He was
Todd Manerovich from the 83 class?
What, J.P. Lawson?
Yeah.
No, he was a question mark. Why the hell did he get drafted that high? Yeah, he was a small little quarterback out of Tulane, tore it up in Conference USA. I mean, he was like 3 inches taller than Doug Flutie, you know. So he's 5'9". Next number here, 70.8%. Steelers have won 70.8% of their games since Juju created a TikTok account. Yeah. 17-7. Prior to the TikToks, Steelers were just 24-14-1. It's keep on dancing on them, Juju. Next number here, 11-5. Here's,
wait a second. We just told him he can't dance. Now you're telling me he needs to dance?
You know, nobody, like you said, 36 hours ago, we had Robert on the podcast. Nobody had a problem with him dancing when we were winning. You know, now they got a problem with it. But, you know, he's 24 years old. Everybody's 24 years old at one point. You do stupid shit. You do dumb stuff. He's a kid at the end of the day. I'm not going to go full-blown Mark Madden on him. I think that guy's obsessed with Juju. He has a weird fetish for him or something. But next number here, 11-5. So here is why this game is so huge for the Colts. If they beat us and the Titans lose to the Packers, they take the division. It's that simple. If both the Colts and Titans lose, the Colts won't take the division, and the chances increase that they actually won't make the playoffs. Both Miami and Cleveland have tiebreakers on them, so if they lose to us, they could finish 11-5 and not make the playoffs. So this team's certainly going to be motivated, as should we, with Cleveland right on our mm-hmm. tails. But yeah, I feel like they're going to be a little bit more motivated than us. Just December football with Tomlin, just I got a feeling. Next number here, 8.3 yards per carry with Derwin Gray on the field, 50% run success rate compared to Horowitzer or Hausenauer, however the hell you say it. Horowitzer. It's just a 2.5 yard per carry. So I think Derwin Gray needs to see the field a lot more this week, that's for sure. Along with Benny Snell. We'll get into that later. Two more here. 7.5 sacks this season for the Colts defensive tackle, DeForest Buckner. And what's more impressive is he's got 33 solo tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 24 quarterback hits, and 8 tackles for loss. Ooh. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week last week, and he's a Pro Bowl snub. I mean, we got a solid guy, too, with Cam, 24 solos, 3 sacks, 0 forced fumbles, 17 QB hits, 5 tackles for loss. We're going to have our hands full with this dude, you know, and really this whole defense on Sunday. And the last number here is 5 of 6. Yes, the Steelers have won 8 in a row against the Colts. They've owned the Colts. But in the last 6 meetings, the Colts did not have their number one quarterback in 5 of them. Last year, obviously, Brian Hoyer almost beat us. 2017, Brissett. Luck wasn't retired yet. 2016, Scott Tolzien. 2015, Matty Hasselbeck. 2014, they did have Luck. It's the only starter they've had in the past 6. And then 2011, Kerry Collins and Curtis Painter. That's like a mediocre Big Ten quarterback all-star team there with Tolzien, Painter, Collins, throwing a little Hoyer. That's your by the numbers.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. I don't like that number. Buckner, 24 quarterback hits. I don't like that. I saw that number. I heard you read that off, and that scares me. But anyhow, let's tear into the matchups with the Colts on offense, how they'll fare versus our Steeler defense. Let's start with, you know, the health report or injury report. T.A., what do you got on the Colts offense?
Well, I think the one thing we need to do is we got to get Rivers running, keep him out of the pocket. He's dealing with a little minor turf toe, so he ain't got both wheels at full air pressure. So if we can get to him, we might be able to really jostle him around. He has not practiced at all this week. Marcus Johnson, wide receiver, quad, he has not practiced all week. Mo Alie-Cox, knee, tight end, has been limited participation. Now, let's not get excited here. Expect all those boys out there on the field. Yeah. And then they got a little bit of nicked up here on the offensive line with Anthony Catanzano, his knee. He actually suffered a slight MCL strain. So it's going to be interesting seeing whether or not Highsmith and TJ can get him back on his heels. That could be a path to the quarterback. And Quentin Nelson back, limited practice as well. We are going up against the 8th overall Colts offense. They are 9th against the pass, 15th against the rush. Going against our number 2 defense, 2nd against the pass, 8 against the rush. Some weapons we got to watch out here for, boys, is Phillip Rivers, mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, Zach Pascal. There's a few more, but Hey, let's break it down, man, with Jonathan Taylor. What is that front seven going to do with him, guys?
He's off the past couple of weeks, man. What he's rushed for 414 yards, four TDs past few weeks. I mean, he's making a late push for rookie of the year, but people forget last year. Yes, Brissett got hurt, but another key piece of that team, that offense that got hurt in the game, was Pro Bowl center Ryan Kelly, who is healthy this year. But if you look at that line, Costanzo, you know, Quentin Nelson, another Pro Bowler. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's been spoiled, dude. He runs behind, you know, 6'8", 350-pound corn-fed boys up at Wisconsin for 3 years, and then now he's running behind these guys. Guy's been spoiled.
Yeah, he has.
He's probably happy we didn't draft him. That's for damn sure.
Well, let's face it, man. Them corn-fed boys, man, allowed him to finish his career with back-to-back 2,000 yards rushing up there against Wisconsin. Surprised he lasted to the second round of this year's draft. Mm-hmm. And if it wouldn't have been for Marion Mack going down, we might not even still know about this kid. But let's also keep in mind now, he has struggled a little bit. You know, he's still trying to adjust to the NFL speed. But they are going to rely on him heavily to take the pressure off of Phillip Rivers, man. And if we can go ahead and continue to stop the run and make them one-dimensional, we have a chance.
Well, I think the Steelers have an ace in the hole there with Vince Williams coming back to help out there too. So I like that.
And what will be interesting is now that Avery's been back in the lineup more or less for so over the course of the last 2 to 3 games, now he's an actual viable piece to move in and out of that defense, even if we don't see Spillane back. So I think these last 3 games, yeah, we've lost them, but we've got a lot of valuable game time that I think people are overlooking as well, too, to help strengthen this defense when these players come back and we're really healthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys getting snaps. Yeah, you know, Marcus Allen even too.
Right, that's right.
Williamson's learning the defense there, even though Marcus Allen does lead the team in missed tackle rate with 20.7%, which is it's a big number.
1 out of 4.
Talking about missed tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't have that. Now, we don't have the mobile quarterback this week that we have in the last couple weeks, so hopefully we can keep him in the pocket and, you know, put some hits on him.
You know, old Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip actually still has a couple years left in the tank compared to Ben, where I don't think Ben has a couple years left in the tank.
No, that became number one topic this past week in social media fodder, et cetera, on the radio talk show fodder. I was just going to say, let's hope he can't tear us up too bad facing our zone coverage.
Yeah. My only reason behind that, you know, Phillip Rivers having more left in the tank is because he's got, what, 19 mouths to feed now? Shit, the guy's going to be playing into his 60s.
Is it 19 or 20?
Because he has to.
I don't know. I heard he had the first one freshman year of high school, man. So,
yeah, he definitely has a lot of children. I mean, but let's face it. This is the first time we're going to see Phillip Rivers in blue and white. I mean, we're used to him in San Diego. He's no stranger to our defense by any stretch of the imagination. Roethlisberger definitely leads the series right now against Rivers at 4-3. But let's not mistake it. It wasn't no more than 2 years ago in Heinz Field on a cold, dark, wintry night where we all thought we had this game, where we watched Phillip Rivers go ahead and decimate that secondary to come back and pull out that victory. We cannot allow that to happen again Sunday. We just can't let that happen.
Well, let's take a look at the weapons that he's got to work with, Dev. You guys want to tear into that?
Yeah. Old T.Y. Hilton, man. Yeah, he's lead the team in receiving yards with 675 yards on the year. He averages 13.5 yards per catch. He is their deep threat speedster. You know, I used to get him confused with Tyreek Hill. They're both very similar players, but he's going to be tough to cover. And, you know, somebody's going to have to step up. You're going to have a Hilton or Sutton step up, because I don't know if Joe Hayden's still 100%, man. And
yeah, I'm not sure.
We normally don't play him on, like, the speedster, you know? I could see him matching up with maybe, like, Michael Pittman Jr., the big rookie, you know? Or maybe Pascal. Pascal killed us last year. Another solid receiver.
But here's the thing. Let's keep in mind, we don't switch Nelson and Hayden from left to right. You get your side, you get my side. Whatever that offense decided to do as far as shuffling their receivers around, you're pretty much covering the guy who's in front of you. We don't have a corner that takes on their best receiver.
Well, let's hope that if they start having success with T.Y. Hilton, that they mix it up. Buffalo, that they mix it up on defense. Unlike the last couple of weeks that we've seen some of these receivers just get red hot and just absolutely kill us, and us making no adjustments or none that was evident for us, the casual viewer.
To the old eye test?
Yes.
Man, they got an all-name team here. T.Y. Hilton, Mo Alie-Cox, Rock Ya-Sin. All they're missing is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Coming to a theater near you.
All right. Who else do we have to watch out for?
We got to watch out for the red zone. I mean, they got a kid right now. His name is Nyheim Hines. He actually is a running back who leads the team in receptions right now, plus tied for fourth with four TDs. They like to go to him and Doyle in the red zone. We cannot leave those two guys unattended, man. We cannot fall asleep at that wheel when we get in the red zone. We just can't do it.
O'Doyle rules.
O'Doyle rules.
Yeah, we haven't been too effective against the big tight ends either.
Some very bad things are going to happen to your family, Mr. O'Doyle.
All right, so overall, Colts offense versus Steelers D, who do you think has the advantage?
I tell you, right now, I still like our defense against our offense. The good thing, we've got a wounded toe. We've got a defense that will keep him in the middle. We're not worrying about him running. If we can keep pressure on that front seven, we can lock down the secondary, and we can stop Jonathan Taylor, I'm taking our defense all day long.
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to go with their offense. I mean, we just allowed Ryan Finley to get probably the deal of his lifetime with Invisalign, you know, smiling all over the place last week, playing like a Joey Burrow, playing like a franchise quarterback. So I'm going to have to go with their offense.
That was a good one.
Hey, come on now. Those were some Peter Seller knockoff teeth, man. Those aren't his real jaws. That's not his real grill. I mean, he picked them up at the store from Peter Sellers. I know he did.
Some veneers.
Well, I'm going to go with the Steelers D if, and I'm going to qualify this, if we can, the Steelers offense can keep them off the field at a decent amount of time. So limit the amount of time they're on the field to normal. And actually have a little bit of possession time in between defensive series. And, you know, I like the Steelers D if they can stay fresh. So just my thoughts. So moving on, let's take a look at the Colts D versus our offense, and this will be interesting. But before we get into that, how's the health report on the Colts defense, TA?
Man, they're looking pretty stout, man. You got DeForest Buckner, who is definitely the rock of this defense. He's got a little ankle injury, but even last week he played through it and still shined. I mean, so he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. He has not practiced at all this week, but I expect him to be on the field. And then you got Al Quadin Muhammad. another ankle injury. He limited. He is their relief guy. I expect to see him shuffled in and out. We are going up against the 11th overall defense. 17th against pass, 5th against the rush. And 5th against rush does not bode well for us. But no. If by chance we see a little Benny Snell football, maybe sprinkled in with a little Connor and a little McFadden, maybe we make them look like our rushing offense at 32. We're at 31. Let me not sell us short, guys. Going up against our offense, we are 13th overall, 17th against the pass, 31st against the rush. So,
who's the weapons we got to want? You know,
I didn't even want to look there, JT, because I was afraid it was going to be somebody like, you know, the Detroit Lions or the Cincinnati Bengals or the New York Jets, and I just didn't want. It's Christmas, man. I want positive vibes for Steelers Nation. So. With the weapons, man, we got to watch out for DeForest Buckner. We've already talked about that. We've got a cat, Darius Leonard. We're going to go ahead and we're going to break down him a little bit. Denico Autry, Xavier Rhodes, man, cannot forget about him. He is all over the field. And in case you need to rock your sin, he's going to be in the background too. So let's start off with Denico Autry. Against Big Al. Can Big Al go ahead and recover, bounce back, start a new streak? Where are we at with that?
Let's hope so, man, because he didn't have a good game last week, which is unusual for him. But this Autry did is pretty big, though, right? 6'5", 285.
Yeah, Big Al's huge, but he did He did not look himself last week, and I think I even said when we were talking about the MASH unit offensive line, it's like, oh, we won't have to worry about Big Al. I mean, but he was a complete liability out there at times.
Yeah, that pocket collapsed very quickly, just about every single pass snap.
I was kind of thinking maybe Big Al and Juju, instead of dancing on the logo, maybe I ought to go off to the end zone and Juju can show him a little few foot moves, you know. It might help him out in the blocking, you know. Dancing's good for foot moves.
Yeah, in the end zone. Not at the 50.
No. Maybe we can start a new one. Big Al and Juju dance moves in the end zone.
And seeing him last week, you know, get manhandled like that when everything going wrong, it's like, man, the sky is literally falling at this point. You know, it's worrisome. So,
all right, let's see. We got Benny Snell. I'm guessing the way Tomlin praised him this week that you're going to see a little bit of Benny Snell, maybe early on, anyhow, spelled by James Conner if he's up to it. So, you know, how you think he's going to fare on the running game?
I mean, they should have kept giving the ball last week. You know, 18 carries, 84 yards. It's the most rushing yards we've seen in quite some time. That's for sure. I think JT, you're saying it's probably since the Cleveland game from an individual standpoint. So the guy to watch out for, though, he's all over the field. He's arguably the best linebacker in the league, made a Pro Bowl again. He leads the team in tackles with 112, you know, 74 of those solo, 2 sacks, 5 passes defended, 2 forced fumbles, and 2 fumble recoveries. And that's Darius Leonard. Guy's a beast, man. Plays with a chip on his shoulder, too. Comes out of South Carolina State, small school, wasn't highly drafted. So it's going to be hard to, you know, his run defense is stout, but he's also solid in coverage as well. So. I mean, here's a crazy stat. So on Pro Football Reference, they have this there's a lot of numbers on there, but they got this one stat called expected points contributed by rushing offense. Baltimore Ravens are number one because they have 72.76 expected points. We are dead last with -37.14.
Jeez. That's not very encouraging.
No.
But that's why they play the game on Sunday, right?
And it is. And I agree with you, Dev. I mean, if we're going to neutralize Leonard, we've got to get the ball to Snell often and early and not abandon the run. Because I think if anything showed us last week, the more you give that kid the ball, he's like any great running back. Look at Jerome back in the day. Jerome didn't start picking it up until the fourth quarter. I mean, that can be said for Henry right now. Henry, nobody wants to see Henry in the fourth quarter of a game.
Right, right. The reason they are rushing him is to just pound you to death at that point.
Exactly. So we've got to get back to a little bit of balance. Got to get a little bit of play action, and we've got to get the ball to Benny. Just let the kid do his thing. This is only his second year, man. He's got fresh legs. Let's pound the ball out.
Pound her out. Pound one out. I'm a bit worried, though, because this defense, man, they got some speed. You know, they can go sideline to sideline. I don't think we're going to be able to go five wide against this D, because they'll bring a zero blitz package up, you know, against us. So who are we going to stick back there at running back to pick up the pass block? You know, because Jalen Samuels can't really pass block. I mean, can any of these guys pass block? That's something people don't talk about, you know?
No, but you've seen us in the last three games. We've brought in Jalen to go ahead and pass block. And, I mean, if we have, you know, a stat sheet side-by-side between Snell and Samuels, I'm going to have to take Snell. I mean, is he where we need him to be? No, he's not where he needs to be. But like we talked earlier, these guys are getting a lot of snaps. Get him back there. Let him get the snaps. Let him get the experience. So my thing is with Snell, because you're right. We go five wide between Kenny Moore, Xavier Rhodes, Rockier Sin. This is not your typical secondary. And I was quite surprised, actually, that they are 17th against the pass with this group. Now, if we can exploit it and Ben can read the coverage and get the ball to him, we could have a big day here as well, too.
All right, let me pull a TA and whoa, whoa, whoa here a second.
Whoa.
I think the only way we have a chance at exploiting these guys is to get some either intermediate and deeper passes out there. Give them a chance to get away from these coverage guys, from these defensive backs. I think with this short game, that's been the negative that's came on to them, since every other NFL team's figured out that's all we're going to do. Just press hard and stay draped over these guys. We have got to create some separation, and the more time you give them to do that, the more time you're going to give them to get open. So, you know, we're going to have to mix it up a little bit and throw deeper than that. A, to avoid passes getting batted down at the line, and B, give these receivers a chance to work their magic and use their speed and moves to create a little bit of separation from these guys. If you're going to keep it inside the 10-yard line every time, we got no chance. Just my two cents there. Sorry, TA.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, but here's the thing. The Cincinnati Bengals came into the game last week ranked dead last in quarterback pressures in the league. And they had Ben on his butt all night, man.
I think that was probably the worst pressure game I've seen all year.
Yeah, he had no time back there, and then he was just throwing balls up like they were beach balls, man. Just loft them up there. So
that game was an amalgamation,
man. But hey, this defense, the secondary isn't too bad.
Wait a second, was that the $5 word of the day?
$5 word of the day. They got
abomination was.
They do have four cornerbacks with pick sixes. So with Kenny Moore, Xavier Rhodes, T.J. Carey. I think Rockya Sin has a pick six too, I'm not mistaken. So
I don't like the sounds of that either.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Kerry Willis, their safety. So that's, you'd think on paper the secondary would be better, but
On paper, it looks better, but there's definitely a disconnect there. I mean, I think we have a choice or a chance. I agree with you, JT. We've got to get out the intermediate passes. We cannot expect to run the ball with a one-yard throw. We just can't do it anymore. And if that is the game plan, then nobody's watching game field, and the whole coaching staff needs to be fired. But I think here we have a chance to get back on track. They tried to do it in Cincinnati, having a little bit of rough. Ben was a little erratic. Let's see what another week goes, man. It's a work in progress, man. Work in progress. So the question is, Colts defense or Steelers offense?
Oh, boy.
I'm going with the Colts D. I mean, they only give up 98 yards rushing per game, and they give up 236 yards passing per game. I mean, that would be a career day for Ben if he got to 236 the way these past three games have been going. So, I mean, there's just too much talent on their defense. Better healthy defense.
Well, Dev, you know what? If this was last week, I might agree with you. This week, I'm not. We have hit rock bottom. We have been humbled. The Bengals loss was probably what this team really needed to take a good look in their mirror, really a good look in the mirror. I look for us to come back, rebound, get back on the winning side of football, give us all a little bit of Christmas joy and spirit, going to see a little snowflake fall. I mean, I'm going with the Steelers offense all the way through.
I like your positivity, TA. And I hope that players' meeting provided a lot of hugs to a lot of people. So if that be the case, yeah, I mean, what a great time of the year for a hug, too. So, you know what? I'm going to stay on the positive side, too. And I'm going to agree and think that the offense rebounds. I think the defense slaps Philip Rivers around a little bit. I think they get him pissed off like he can get very easily.
God and, damn it.
I think, gosh darn it. And I think the offense does enough to keep them ahead. So I'm going to say the offense, Steelers O, that rebounds this week and puts up enough points to pull off a victory, a little Christmas present for Steelers Nation. Well, let's put it this way. I hope so.
I still can't fathom having like 19 kids and not cussing. You know? Guy doesn't cuss.
Yeah, it only takes one. You get one kid that you'll find some swear words you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, Dev, when you first have kids, man, that's probably going to be your kid's first word is a cuss word. I can already see it now. It's coming. Just wait, buddy.
But I'm just saying, like, the guy, as frustrated as he gets, especially in some of the San Diego teams, doesn't cuss.
Well, he's not frustrating. He's relieving it when he goes home. That's how he's keeping an even balance of 19 kids.
There's probably some bully in one of those kids' school that's teaching them all the swear words. One of those kids also a bunch of swear words. That's what I would do.
All right. So what's our prediction, boys?
All righty. Somebody listed me first, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Steelers. I think they pull one out, and I'm going to say 24-19.
Nice. I got 19-16 Steelers.
Nice. Okay.
Guys, it's Christmas. I just got off the phone with St. Nick. He is assuring me it is going to be 31-24.
Oops.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is where we get right.
That's right.
We are going to play up to our playoff capability, because that's the one thing this team does, is it does it loser. But when it comes time to play to the big boys, we step up for the game. I expect that. I demand it.
I like that. With all the negativity abounding in Steeler Nation, and, you know, we're going to go ahead. And it was tough. Let's be honest. It was tough to find a lot of positives in the Cincinnati game in our Tuesday night podcast. But we're homers. We're yinzers. And we still have faith. As T.A. would say, what's continues to roll, T.A.?
Train's rolling all the way to the Super Bowl, boys. You're either on it or you're off it. If you're off it, go listen to Madden and everybody else in the Steelers media. You want a little positivity? You want to bring a little cheer to your life? You tune in to the Steelers Realm, because win or lose, we're riding this thing until the wheels fall off.
All right, guys, we're up against the clock here. Before we do that, let's let me just throw something out real quick, and I think, Dev, you have something as well, too, but just wanted to give another shout-out to our one of our partners, Riverside.fm. That's powered the Steelers Realm podcast, powered by that, and is the official remote high-definition video and audio conferencing tool of the Steelers Realm. Make sure to check them out. Go to SteelersRealm.com. There's a link right at the top of the page. It says Riverside.fm. Click on that and get your free trial. Try it out. I'm sure you'll appreciate all the high-definition audio and the way these guys set themselves apart as one of the premier conferencing tools out there. So with that said, Dev, as we're working towards one of our weekly series or episode series, about a little shout out for Steel City Star.
Yeah, certainly. And we wanted to do the Steel City Star Steeler Spotlight of the Week here this week, even though, you know, on Tuesday we kind of honored him a little bit when we had Robert on roughly, you know, 36 hours ago, but wanted to make sure to give him his due here again and you know, have Kevin Green be the spotlight of the week. Yeah, and our friend Steel City Star, he put together on his new website, steelcitystar.com, basically every clip that Kevin Green has ever played in a Steelers uniform. And it's all on one page. It's great. You'll get lost in it for hours. A lot of good, you know, Quiver and Quake videos with him and Lloyd and all kinds of cool stuff. So you got to go check it out. We'll have the links in this description. And, you know, it's a terrible loss for not only the Steelers organization, but not only the NFL, but the game in general. So Steel City Star really put together a nice piece to honor him, and we wanted to make sure
job
to do so as well.
With all those videos, definitely. Well, let's jump into the kitchen. That is what is the AFC North, or should we evaluate this as being hot still in the North? I think it's as hot now as it ever was. How about it, guys?
That's for sure.
Yeah. We got the Ravens at 9-5. They're still in the bubble as the 8th seed on the AFC side of things. Last week, a little lopsided win against the Jags. Well, of course, 40-14 this week facing the New York Giants. We can only hope for an upset if the Giants haven't packed it in already. So let's hope the Giants can pull one out there. T.A., why don't you tell us about the Browns?
Man, that's the kicker right there. I mean, the Browns are 10-4. They're keeping on pace for their first division title. Currently in the playoffs as a 5th seed. They can make a push for the division champ at the last game of the year against us if we falter this week and or next week against the Browns. I mean, last week they beat the Giants 20-6. This week they play the Lonely Hearts Club, your favorite, New York Jets. However, the Jets have come off of their first victory of the year. Can they make it 2 victories in a row? Let's hear it for New York. Who doesn't love New York?
New York, New York. And of course,
quarterback.
Yeah.
What's that?
Our future quarterback. the Jets. Sammy Darnold.
Yeah. A lot of talk about him being up for grabs.
Oh, yeah, he certainly is. But they kind of screwed themselves last week. They're not getting Lawrence anymore. The Jags are.
Yeah. So at this point, why not try to win another game, right?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. Yeah, we got the Bengals there, 3-10-1. And I think their only focus right now is shining up their golf clubs to get ready for an off season. So they had their Super Bowl last week against the Steelers, upsetting them 27-17. And then facing off against the Houston Texans, who are really sputtering as well, too. So who knows? Who knows what's going on like that? But anyhow, let's jump into our Steel City Star Steelers Spotlight Player of the Week. None other than the late, great Kevin Green. And as Dev mentioned, a great little tribute highlight reels from Steel City Star. Go out to steelcitystar.com and spend some time out there. I'm sure you'll appreciate it. But let's jump into, let's give Kevin a little bit of his due and some statistics and whatnot on his accomplishments over the years. We talked a little bit about him as a person Tuesday with Robert, and he's got a great bit of accolades that put him in the Hall of Fame. So, TA, why don't you kick us off with some of the highlights of Kevin's career and what he meant to the game?
Well, he meant a lot to the game, actually. I mean, let's face it, he finished third all-time sacks. I mean, and if you think about it, who are the other two guys ahead of him? Anybody?
Michael Strahan.
And I'm guessing from the Green Bay Packers.
Reggie White.
Reggie White is, of course, as we know, number one.
There's
no doubt about that. And let's face it, there was another guy that was taken from us way too long. I don't know why these great pass rushers are leaving us too soon, but that just seems the way they are. But as everybody knows, Kevin Green has definitely was definitely around the league. I mean, he started out with, of course, the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, he had a 15 career in the NFL. When he came to us, he was picked out of Los Angeles in 1985. He came to us 5 years later, basically went ahead and started Blitzberg with probably – which could be arguably the best linebacking core we ever seen, with LaVon Kirkland, Chad Brown, Greg Lloyd, and of course Green. Of course, when we were first blessed with him, everybody thought, "Who is this nutbag? Is this all for show?" but in all honesty, that was just who he was. I mean, he brought a sense of enthusiasm to this team that no other player has ever done before in Steelers Nation. The argument can be there with Juju as far as his, kid-like demeanor and bringing a happy smile and so forth, but Green was truly one of a kind. I wish we would have had a Super Bowl with him. I really truly do. I think that really would have solidified it. But, he then turned around and, he left us and went to the Panthers, had that chance with the Panthers just like he did with us. And then from there, I think he went off to, San Francisco and then back to Carolina? Was that where it went?
Right. Yeah, he finished out his career Carolina.
Yeah, finished it out with.
Yep. 98 through 99, sorry.
And then from there, I mean, he went on to coaching. I mean, from Green Bay, one of the things that I think really kept him in the coaching was a coach that nobody really talks about anymore, and that was Dom Capers. I mean, a lot of people forget Dom was just as integral to this 3-4 defensive scheme as Dick LeBeau was, and Kevin seemed to follow him around. And then even did a little stint on the New York Jets with another Steeler that a lot of people don't know, and that would have been Chad Brown. So, I mean, he was definitely no stranger to football. Everybody known and loved him, and he's going to be greatly missed. He's just going to be greatly missed. I'm not going to go into all the stats and everything he did. He was probably, as a lot of people have said, just as great off the field that he was on the field. And his love and passion for the game is what he's really, truly known for, because he did play with his heart on his sleeve.
Well put.
Yeah. Good job to you. Let me take just a second and hit some of his career highlights. 5-time Pro Bowl selection, 3-time first team All-Pro, NFL Defensive Player of the Year, 96, NFC Defensive Player of the Year in 96. How do you do that? There you go. 2-time NFL sack leader from 94, 96. Made NFL's 1990s all-decade team and a member of the 100 Sacks Club, as well as a Super Bowl champ as a coach, too. So, Kevin Green, what an illustrious career. Was also military, a son of a military man. They traveled around different bases, even over in Germany, overseas. But Green also played football, basketball, and was a high jumper for track team. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. But as he went into college, enrolled at Auburn, entered the Reserve Officers Training Corp, ROTC, basic training for the U.S. National Guard, Fort McClellan in Alabama, and attempted to walk on Auburn Tigers as a punter in 80, tried out again in 83 and made the team. In 84, he won the Zeke Smith Award as Defensive Player of the Year. So just an incredible history behind him that got him into the NFL and into coaching after that, even as his degree in criminal justice at Auburn. So RIP Kevin Green. Glad you were a Steeler for the years you were, buddy. God bless you and your family.
Very well put, man. Both of you guys. I don't know how I'm going to follow that up.
I do. Give us the Dev Degenerate Lock of the Week, man. How are we doing? Are we back above 500 yet, Dev?
We are. But
so you were able to buy a new pair of shoes for Christmas?
I was able to. Yeah, I was able to. I was able to get a couple ornaments put back up on the tree after I had to pawn a couple off that were gifted to me by family members. They were, you know, in the family for years, those pieces. But we got some back now on the tree. But I was helped out by not having a lock of the week last week. I did not want Thomas Everett to think I was a degenerate first impression. So we're 22-20 on the year, 3-0 2 weeks ago. My first pick of the week is going to be Arizona -5 versus San Fran. This is a tricky game here, folks, because both teams are kind of playing at home now. You know, San Francisco, they're not allowed to play in San Francisco anymore. And it's a resilient team, much like the city of San Francisco, a very resilient city. You know, when life hands you AIDS, you make lemonades. And San Francisco has been making lemonades all year. 28 injuries, you know, tough team, but taking Kyler Murray, Arizona -5. Next game, Detroit +9.5 versus Tampa. Tampa, they don't cover the big spreads with Tom Brady. He's Tommy Terrific isn't Tommy Terrific anymore. And lastly, Washington at home, a pick versus Carolina. Ron Rivera is going to be all juiced up to play his former team.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what, I think they have a good, I think they have a great start to a decent team at Washington. I mean, when they played us, I was very impressed with Washington. I think they got a lot of potential. Just add a couple key components to them. But, yeah, that'll be an interesting game to watch, too. So, well, gentlemen, hey, we're up against it now, definitely. But Steeler Nation, thank you for hanging with us. Have a great Christmas. Happy holidays to you. And let's hope Santa Claus treats us right and brings us a Steeler win. Gentlemen, same to you. Merry Christmas to you. And we'll see you soon. Careful in the hot tub. Catch you next time. Go Steelers.
Ho, 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 Steelers Nation. Train's rolling. Santa's on board. We know we've been naughty. We know we've been nice. We're going to get another win, even though we're going to play it on ice. So, don't pack it in yet, boys and girls. We got a long way to go. Merry Christmas to all.
You heard it first from NORAD there, folks. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll catch you next week.
Check back next week into the Steelers Realm podcast.